From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of October 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign. And then a bit later in the program, the folks at the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Logansport, Indiana, will be along to look at the cash grain market. And we'll hear today from the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Pay attention to how dry it is out west. I think you'll have some new insight for what they're dealing with in Iowa and Nebraska in particular, and then also to how far along Minnesota and Iowa are in their harvest season. You'll get an idea that all this crop came in at once and not over time. That may change your view of what's been happening in the marketplace. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Of course, we'll review tomorrow morning's USDA Report 2. It comes to you from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgrigoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
For a Wednesday afternoon in Chicago, futures finished the day higher in the wheat pit. December contract at $8.69¾, a settlement price there up 5.5 cents. The March at $8.81, up 5.25, and July wheat at $8.46¼ for the soft red, up 3¼. In Kansas City, the July hard red settled at $8.74, 3¾ higher. Back in Chicago, these are closes from the corn pit and not settlements. 7.35¾, down 6¼. The March at 7.36½, 5¾ lower. And the May corn at 7.32¾. That finished 3¾ lower. July at 7.27, down 3¼. And December futures of next year at $6.30¼, up 2½ cents. Bean futures, November contract, $15.22½. 27½ cents lower on the close. January at 15.24, down 25¼. The March at $14.89, down 15¼. And the May soybeans, $14.40¾, down 10¾. July at $14.29¾, 8 cents lower on the day. November contract at $13.33, down 5¼. Bean meal futures finish 6.70 lower at $4.71.40. Bean oil at $50.46, down 36. Live cattle futures in the December contract at $126.57½, 15 cents lower. November feeders unchanged at $146.70, and the December lean hogs at $78.10, up $1.30. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media at the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures trading the November at $91.28 a barrel, $1.11 lower. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.95¼. That's just about unchanged on the day. Ethanol in the November contract at $2.40¼ lower. And the difference between the two is 55¼. That's the spread. That's 8⅙ higher on the afternoon. So it keeps getting a little better for blending ethanol into the gasoline supply. Natural gas at $3.47⅔. That's a ½ cent higher on the day, and the November heating oil at $3.21⅓, 0.9 cents higher. Gold futures finished at $1,763.90 an ounce, a dime higher. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, sunny skies, a high of just 54 degrees on a west-northwest wind. It'll be windy out there, 17 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 23. Patchy frost after 4 a.m. this morning. And we'll see a mostly clear sky, a low of about 35 degrees in the area, with a west wind at 5 to 9 miles an hour overnight. Patchy frost before 9 a.m. as well, otherwise mostly sunny. A high of 63 degrees tomorrow on a southwest wind at 8 to 16, gusting to 21. And then Thursday evening, cloudy skies, a low of 41. Sunday, or rather Friday, sunny, with a high of 61 degrees on an northeast wind at 8 to 10 miles an hour. Friday night, partly cloudy and a low of 47. Saturday, isolated thunderstorms, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms after 8 in the morning. Mostly cloudy, a high of 73. The chance of precipitation on Saturday set at 40%. Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms are likely. Mostly cloudy and a low of 61. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Well, on this 10th day of October, a Wednesday afternoon, let's look at the futures markets with Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson. She's right here in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we have just a few hours now left before the October crop production and WASDE numbers are released by USDA NAS. They'll go into lockup overnight tonight, and then tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m., we will get one of the most widely anticipated October reports I think I can remember in recent history, and the numbers are all over the board from the trade. Why is that the case?
Well, I think that there's just so much indecision on the part of everybody, you know, as to what is the reality. You've got people out there, when we look at beans, saying 40 bushel beans. You know, we're at 35.3 right now with the USDA. You've got people saying 37 bushel beans. You just have people everywhere. And I think on top of that, probably one of the main things that's driving all of the indecision too is all the emotional marketing that's being done. We've got farmers right now who are terrified, and I can't believe the amount of calls and the people that a person talks to, and for as bullish as they were, they've just gone the absolute opposite direction, and it's primarily because they don't know what the next door neighbor's doing. You know, they don't know what the people in Minnesota are doing. They, you know, nobody feels confident as in terms of what this crop is really going to produce. And I think that the bean market, of course, was the driver today on the downside, and a miserable close, first time below 100-day moving average since the 5th of June of this year. Now, does that mean anything if the USDA comes in tomorrow and, you know, comes in with 134 million bushel carryout or less? It doesn't make a difference what size the crop is, really. And, you know, I looked back to see what the September report had. They had an 8.5% deviation. It means we could have a crop of 2.4 to 2.85. And 2.79 fits right in between, which is what the guess is. And on the corn side, we're looking at 9.7 to 11.6. That's a yield of 111.7 to 133.8. I think that's why there's just so much indecision and up in the air thinking when it comes to what is this really going to show us. Plus, we don't know the FSA acres.
Yeah, in the end, whatever those numbers show, it's the ending stocks that will make the difference. What do you think those will show up as?
Yeah, you're going exactly where I was going to go to. I think that the ending stocks are going to be somewhere in that 600 to 650 million on corn.
Mm-hmm.
On the bean side of things, boy, it could be almost anything from 115 to maybe 145 or somewhere in that neighborhood. It does depend upon what they do with the total crop. But the reality is that in previous reports in the last couple of months, we have really chopped away at demand with the idea that we needed to do that, you know, to stymie the numbers in terms of pricing. And we've done that. So, you know, even if we increase yields, the likelihood of the USDA perhaps increasing demand because of the drops we've had in price is very high.
Right. We've had 4 weeks of a downturn in the marketplace for corn. I suppose, and many wonder why that has happened. Do you think that it is because, and Jackie, are you still with me?
I'm still here.
You were so silent, I wasn't sure. do you believe that it comes in large part because so much of this crop, and we got the numbers yesterday from USDA on crop progress, is already out of the field? I mean, it all came in across the entirety of the Corn Belt fast and early.
That's exactly the truth. And, you know, the reality is that when we're in a position like we were in so many states, at least the four majors here, of having to sell because of concerns about aflatoxin, the minute that you sell, the board gets sold for fear of having paid you too much. And that is what we call harvest pressure. I think, you know, we've seen the same thing in beans. We have clients up in Minnesota that are 100% done. And these aren't guys that farm 500 acres. These are guys that farm 3,000 acres. You know, so it is a very odd year. I do think that on the corn side of things, too, the early harvest has put a crimp into things. Brazil exporting corn into the eastern part of the United States. You know, they had they brought in more than 106 million metric tons from Brazil in the months of August and September into that area, and so that certainly dampened the price for corn at the same time too. Now we'll see once what happens tomorrow.
Hey, on exports and imports, did I see that China was back in the marketplace again?
Yes, in fact, China came in this morning and bought 120 million metric tons of beans before the market even opened, and it didn't seem to have any impact today, but that's not unusual the day before this. And, you know, it's good you brought up China because there's some interesting things going on with China. I think most people are aware of the fact that they've been arguing with Japan about a set of islands that they both claim that they own.
Mm-hmm.
And China skipped going to the IMF meeting because it was being held in Tokyo. Their auto sales have dropped dramatically, and it's primarily because they're boycotting Japanese vehicles. And so that to me says volumes as to how temperamental perhaps they are and why we sometimes tiptoe around them a bit, because we do need them. There's no question about it. But they are experiencing some slowing in growth, and I think we're probably going to see some more stimulus. At least Wall Street Journal was talking about it again this morning coming out of there. But we've got a few other things going on the outside markets. When you look at Argentina, the dock workers are on an indefinite strike. Normally that would bring some life to this market, but that didn't work today either ahead of this report. And so all of that is kind of pent up and sitting in the background waiting to find out just what the USDA is going to say tomorrow. And I do think that, you know, the bigger picture also, and I know I've talked about this before, we have to be looking at what the topsoil levels are and what the overall moisture levels. And I did a little bit of looking. Even though the Illinois shows 50% of the topsoil, short to very short, Illinois is 140% behind on soil moisture for the year. That you know, the 50% and the 140% seem to be a long ways away from each other, but what it just tells us is we've got some topsoil moisture, but not a lot below. And that's the same circumstance we see when you go across Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, into Kansas, up into the Dakotas. And so that's all in the background, too, and that will all come forward at some point in time. But I think the big thing now is this report and getting it out of the way.
Hey, one final thing. I've seen a couple of things cross my desk, at least in email or digitally in one form or another, about end users having a really tough time, a couple of places even filing bankruptcy.
Yeah, that's the truth, and I'm particularly familiar with this one. Penfield, which is a privately held family operation out in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is very big, and I've met the people actually who owned it. They filed bankruptcy 5 days ago, and they've got a buyer for $15.6 million, but they have been in business for years and years and years, and they're going to end up having to sell their farmland and their three grain processing plants. And I think what it really highlights, Todd, is just how tough this drought has made it for anybody who's in the processing business when it comes to grain. You know, if you're an elevator, you shift it from one place to the next. But if you're a processor, you have to have the product. And so when people don't sell, you don't have the ability to keep running. And that's not a choice for somebody who's a processor.
All right. I know you'll be watching the markets at 7:30 a.m. tomorrow morning when the reports are released. Thanks for being with us today.
You bet you. Thank you. Have a great one.
Hey, you too. That is Jackie Vick. She's with Stuart Peterson. Joins us here on a Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
This agricultural report is made possible with support from Country Financial, now offering protection programs for the 2013 planting season, like federal crop insurance. Federal crop insurance information is available today from your local Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, including Commodity Week. This week, our guest will be Joe Persaki, USDA NASS. He'll be putting the numbers together tonight that you'll hear tomorrow morning on our program that come from USDA NASS. Not the WASDE numbers, of course, but the crop production figures. We'll talk with him about those on Friday afternoon, about 4:30, our recording time for Commodity Week. Our panelists this week include Bill Gentry and Kurt Kimmel, along with Wayne Nelson. Commodity Week up on the website at about 6:30, 6 o'clock on Friday evening at WILLAG.org. Well, speaking of USDA and Joe Persaki and NASA, yesterday afternoon, after the early week Monday Columbus Day holiday, they released the weekly crop progress reports, and it showed that as of October the 7th, 69% of the corn crop has been harvested around the nation. That compares to 28% at this date on the rolling five-year average. 93% of the soybeans have dropped their leaves. 88% is the rolling five-year average. 58% of that crop has matured and been harvested. 40% is the rolling five-year average. So we're about 18% ahead of the normal for the soybeans. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions. Of course, I've heard them. The thing I think that's most important is for you to listen to how well the subsoil and soil moisture levels are maintained across the Midwest. There is a huge difference from the east to the west side of the Mississippi River. And I can warn you now that Iowa and Nebraska, well, they're just really, really, really dry. Oh, one other note. Make sure you listen to hear how far along Minnesota is in their crop progress for corn harvest. Where they usually are, that'll probably help you decide why we've had such a big drop in the corn market over the past several weeks. It all just came in at the same time.
This is Latravis Brazil, our field office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week in October 7, 2012. Corn harvest advanced 20 percentage points from last week, while soybean harvest advanced 26 percentage points from last week. Northwest Iowa farmers with 91% of their corn acreage harvest and 96% of their soybean harvest continue to lead the way with row crop harvest in the state. Fall tillage is becoming more prevalent as the harvest near completion. Topsoil moisture fell to 96% very short to short, while subsoil moisture fell to 97% very short to short. Grain movement remained brisk, with 52% of the state seeing moderate to heavy grain movement from farm to elevator. As the harvest season advanced, 99% of the state reports adequate or surplus off-farm grain storage, and 95% of the state reports adequate or surplus on-farm storage capacity. 76% of the corn crop has been harvested for grain or seed, 1 month ahead of normal. Last year at this time, less than one quarter of Iowa's corn crop has been harvested. 98% of Iowa's soybean field has dropped leaves nearly a week ahead of normal. 80% of the state soybean crop has been harvested 2 weeks ahead of normal. Soybean harvested is 24 percentage points higher than last year at this time. This is Latravis Brazil reporting for the USDA NAS, our field office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office. Corn and soybean harvest continued last week across the state, with a few delays being reported due to widespread light rains. Cooler temperatures prevailed with a statewide average of 53 degrees, which was 5.4 degrees below normal for the 7-day period ending Sunday, October 7th. Precipitation for the week averaged a near normal 83 one-hundredths of an inch, and topsoil moisture supplies are currently being reported at 17% very short, 33% short, 46% adequate, and 4% surplus. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile came in at 33% very short, 40% short, 26% adequate, and 1% surplus. Corn harvest advanced by 9 percentage points to 80% complete, and this compares to only 44% last year and for the 5-year averages. The crop reporting district trailing all others in the state is the Northwestern District, where 56% of the crop has now been harvested. However, this pace is still ahead of normal for this geographic region. Soybean harvest finished the week at 47% complete, compared to 39% a year ago and 42% for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in the soybean harvest category was the Northeastern District, where 70% is now in the bins. Overall, the state's soybean crop was rated in mostly fair condition. Fall seeding of the soft red winter wheat crop advanced to 30%, which compares to 26% 1 year ago and for the 5-year averages, and 4% of the wheat crop has now emerged. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office. A killing frost over the weekend brought the growing season to an end. Temperatures averaged 9 to 11 degrees below normal across the state. Lows dipped into the lower 20s and upper teens. With the colder temperatures came the first snowfall in portions of the west. Corn harvest is 2/3 complete, 1 month ahead of average. Soybean harvest was over 70% complete, near 2 weeks ahead of average. Winter wheat seeding was over 80% complete. However, less than one-third of the winter wheat fields were emerged 12 days behind average. Sorghum, proso millet, and dry bean harvest progressed. With 97% of the state's pastures in poor or very poor conditions, cattle were utilizing stalks. Producers continued seeking forage supplies to cover current and future needs. This is David Bier of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Corn and soybean harvest continued well ahead of last year and the five-year average pace. As of October 7th, 95% of the state's soybeans were harvested, compared to 69% last year and 55% average. The average moisture content of harvested soybeans was 9%. The corn harvest was 78% complete, compared to 16% last year and 11% average. The average moisture content of harvested corn was 14%. The season's first significant snowstorm crossed northwestern Minnesota. Record snowfall amounts were recorded on Thursday in some areas, while most of the state remained dry throughout the week. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 45% very short, 41% short, and 14% adequate. Pasture and range condition was rated 35% very poor, 27% poor, 25% fair, 12% good, and 1% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending Sunday, October 7th. 49% of the corn acreage has been harvested compared to 18% last year and 32% for the five-year average. By area, 44% of the corn acreage has been harvested in the north, 42% in the central region, and 73% in the south. Moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 20%. 30% of the soybean acreage has been harvested compared to 21% last year and 40% for the five-year average. The stems in some soybean fields are still green, but the pods are mature, making these fields difficult to harvest. Moisture content of harvested soybeans is averaging about 14%. 18% of the winter wheat acreage has been planted compared to 27% for the five-year average, with 2% of the crop now emerged. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly crop progress updates. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Ben Stoller at the Anderson's Climbers facility located in Logansport, Indiana, on the phone line with us. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about your ethanol plant, how well it's operating, what kind of problems this drought-ridden season has given you, kinds of things that we might not have discussed in the past.
Sure thing. Yeah, ethanol plant currently is running well. We did take a shutdown a couple weeks ago. We have come back online. We're running full bore. Really, things have gone pretty well. There were certainly concerns with aflatoxin and the how it compounds in the distiller's grains. We have not seen many issues with that, but in general, we feel like ethanol margins are improving a little bit, so things seem to be running smoothly.
And what are your bids for the day?
Bids for today, Delphi corn, 752, Climbers corn, 762, beans to Delphi, 1503.
And very quickly, everything pretty much wrapped up there?
You know, certainly to our south, down by Delphi, we would say harvest is close to 80-85%. But as you get up here to Logansport, I would say closer to 60% done on corn harvest.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Ben Stoller is with the Anderson's Climbers facility right there in Logansport, Indiana. Back in 2 minutes.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
It's National Angel Food Cake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1796, marks the traditional date for the creation of the metric system. In 1817, Christophorus Spallet was born, a Dutch meteorologist. He was among the first to observe that the wind blows at right angles to the atmospheric pressure gradient. In 1892, Earl Dixon was born. He invented Band-Aids for his wife, who had frequent kitchen accidents, cutting or burning herself. He worked as a buyer for Johnson & Johnson, who soon began manufacturing his idea. In 1913, a dike was blown up by the U.S. engineers to complete the final stage of the Panama Canal, and the waters of the Pacific met the waters of the Atlantic. By the way, President Woodrow Wilson signaled the explosion, pressing a button in the White House, which sent a telegraph signal to Panama to trigger the dynamite charge. In 1929, Elijah McCoy died, a Canadian-born American inventor. He held a number of patents for the automatic lubrication of machinery, especially steam engines used in factories, railway locomotives, and ocean ships. And in 1933, Waldo L. Seaman received a patent on a method for making plasticized PVC, now known as vinyl. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com. Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City will be with us in just a moment, I hope, to take up the agricultural weather forecast. And we'll have him here live in about 15 seconds or so.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
It is this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated on the phone line. Thanks, Drew, for taking the time with us this afternoon. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. Can we expect more like this in the near future?
Well, I'm afraid we'll probably have a little bit of a mix coming up, but the lower parts of the Midwest will probably do rather well, I think, over these next two or three days. The disturbances that are expected to come across the Midwest will be split, with parts of them going across the upper portions of the Midwest, mostly across the Great Lakes region. It looks like sometime, tomorrow evening and into Friday morning, we may see a little bit of shower activity coming out of southern Missouri into far southern Illinois, southwestern Indiana, maybe portions of western Kentucky. Those areas, though, will only pick up on a quarter of an inch of rain or so, and not much more than that. The whole rest of the Midwest, from really Iowa and northern Missouri right to Ohio, will stay dry until we get a new storm system to develop in the central plains. That will occur on Friday night going into Saturday. And that storm system will then march from the central plains right to the Great Lakes region, and so we will then see our best chance for rain across the Midwest. I would imagine a couple tenths to three quarters of an inch of rain, maybe some local totals over an inch, will occur from Iowa and southern portions of Minnesota over to Michigan. And then everybody else from northern Missouri into Ohio will probably see amounts up to about a half inch, with the lightest rains likely in the easternmost parts of the region.
How about things in South America?
Well, things down there are looking better. It's been very dry and hot for the last 10 days, and a lot of the moisture we had in late September has evaporated away, and so there's been a lot of concern in the marketplace that we weren't going to get the seasonal rains. And that's typical for this time of the year, but not realistic. We're going to see rain develop. Over these next few days, we'll likely see showers and thunderstorms scattering from southwest to northeast across Brazil's key crop areas. And sufficient amounts of moisture will likely occur to support the planting and perhaps the emergence, but there is going to definitely need to be a follow-up rain event of significance, and that's where the debate is. Some of the model data at midday today took away a lot of rain in the second week of the outlook. I don't think that that's going to verify very well. I think the model will have to put that back in there, and if I'm correct, then we will see good follow-up rains a little bit later in the month, and we should end up with a fairly decent environment for emergence and establishment.
Hey, Drew, thanks so much. I do really appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Don't forget, USDA NAS releases a WASDE crop production report at 7:30 a.m. Central Time tomorrow morning. That's 8:30 in the Eastern Time Zone. We'll have full coverage all day long here at willag.org.